Sagt the Mishnah, Demei Yodi Alai. So here you have not an Erech, but a Neder. So a person says, I'm going to give the value of my arm, my hand to Hekdesh. Shomino Yisoi, Kamahu Shove Biyad, Ubalo Yad. So we evaluate his hand, how much he's worth with the hand or without the hand. And that distinction of what he's worth with versus without is what he owes Hekdesh. Because by erechin, as we'll see from the next sugya, there's only a din erechin on a body. Or if you do an aver shan shomot liyva, there's also an erech because that's called a body. If you pick a limb that's a life-sustaining limb, we had that a couple of times, that's kvoidoi, and there's a din of erechin, but that's only because it's like the whole body. There's no erech for limbs. The whole lashon of the Gemara of Zech Choymer ben Ador mi Berachin is strange, the lashon of Mishnah, because l'choyer it's not a chumrah. Right? It's not a chumrah. So some things we call till now are chumras. The reason why there's no erech by Yad is because there is no erech for it. The Torah doesn't give an erech for Yadayim. So it's not that it's a chumrah. It's more, there is no erech for Yad. If somebody would say the erech of Avir is a lie, it wouldn't work either. If you'd say, Demei Avir Alai, there'll be no din of Domim, because there's no Domim for air. So, Be'emes, when you say Domi, when you say Erech Yodi Alai, there's no Erech for a hand. So, it's not really a Chumra. So, we'll try to get back to that. Stam, why is that even called a Chumra? It's not really a Chumra. It's a Matzias. There's no Erech for it. Somebody would say Erech of Behema would be the same thing. Somebody say Erech of Behema Alai. There's no Erech because Behema doesn't have Erech. So it doesn't qualify. Says the Gemara, Hecha Shaminon. How do we make this evaluation? Omar Rava, Oimdin Oisoi, Oimid Shel Nizokin. We use the same qualification of Shuma that we use by Nizikin. Just like by Nezikin, if somebody cuts off somebody's arm, so we evaluate it, we evaluate this person like he's being sold in the market. Same thing over here. That's the way we evaluate it. Says the Gemara, it's very different. Omale Abaye Midomi Hosom Gavra Zilahu Hocha Gavra Shavichu. By over there, by Nezikin, you're talking about when a person has to pay for the damages of an arm. Really, I mean, this is the way the Gaon understands it as well. Really, what's taken into account is the fact that this person doesn't have use of that arm, and also that it's an armless individual. An armless individual has something that's mias about them. So it's not only use, it's also a deformant. He's deformed. So that clearly by Hekdesh, that wasn't what you had in mind. You didn't have in mind to give Hekdesh the differentiation of what you would be worth without your arm, taking into account that your arm is not only use, but your arm is what you look like. So that shouldn't be part of the Demei Hekdesh. That's Abaya's Taina. We look at the difference between a person buying an eved that will work with two hands versus one hand. The Gemara says, what do you mean? In one hand, l'chayra means idach psike. The other arm is off, because the Gemara is assuming if the other arm is on, so there is always some use that you can get from the other arm. Even a paralyzed arm could be used in certain ways. The Gemara is trying to figure out how can we isolate an arm completely without cutting it off. You can have an eved that one arm belongs to one master, and the other arm belongs to the other master. Meaning you have two adonim. So one adon has like a lien. So the adon number two cannot use the eved left arm, because that already other number one has. So there you're really isolating that yad completely, and that's the oymet. If you look in the Rambam taka paskins like this ukimta. And they all ask on the Rambam that l'chayr it's a machloikas abay v'rova. We know that the halacha is like rova all over Shas, except for the cases of Ya'al Kagam. And this is not one of the cases of Ya'al Kagam. So you should paskin like rova. But really, I think that question is not such a question. Because there are really two statements being made in the Gemara. Statement number one is oim din oisai oimid shal nezikin. That's statement number one. And statement number two, that lies in statement number one, is that when we go to oimid shal nezikin, we normally look at an eved, what he's like with an arm and without an arm. Right? We don't look at it when somebody cuts off somebody else's arm, they don't pay the value, just the value of what that arm is worth in the market as far as with it or without it. We take into account also the fact that the person is deformed. A deformed eved is worth less than somebody who's not deformed. So Abayu then makes his ukimta. If you look at the Abayu's lashon, it says Omar Abaye, but if you look in the girs on the side, by Omar Abaye, Tzorech Loimar, the side of the Gemara, El Omar Abaye. Right? Tzorech Loimar, El Omar Abaye. So I think what's going on here is very simple. The Gemara's Ukimta itself, the fact that the Gemara made the Ukimta, that we're talking, we make an Oymit Shal Nezikin, that's the main point of Rava. Rava's main Hachlata is that we go Oymit Shal Nezikin, which really means that there are many different ways to qualify a value of an arm. You can qualify the value of an arm by what would somebody pay to have an arm. What's it worth to a person to get the slave market? I mean, if you want to be very exact, that would be a more normal way to evaluate an arm. What's it worth to the person to have an arm? What would they pay to have an arm versus not to have an arm? And the figures would be staggering. It would be much, much more money if there's any price that could be given to for somebody to say what I would pay for to have an arm. And that's one type of this halacha, really, that should be the one that's used. There's a whole drosh in the Gemara Bava Kama, how we come up to this conclusion, that this is the way we evaluate a nezikin. If you went to a civil court and you were suing somebody because they were involved in cutting off an arm of yours, you wouldn't be suing them for the slave market value of an eved with an arm, without an arm. Right? You'd come in there and show what the arm is worth to you. And you'd want to be compensated based on that scale. But there's a gzeres hakosov by nezikin that this is the way we do it. We make a shuma, we make this type of valuation. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes Ois Tes on the right, the Shita Mekubetzes is actually bothered by this question. Why do we use this type of an evaluation? Tema. The mashma ocho the behek the shomen ayad agav aguf kemoi benezikin. We make this kind of the shuma, what you're worth with the arm, what you're worth without the arm. The kosher. The other shomen benezikin ayad agav aguf. Hainu time mishum dichsiv benezikin ubiyah b'steyach. Melame she shomen beisor boisei son. It's a separate din in Bava Kama. Bava Kama works that operates in that fashion. When we evaluate nezikin, we don't evaluate it based on what the arm is worth to that person. We base the nezikin based on what the value would be in the open market, and that's a big chiddush. Very often, they could technically, using that method, a person could create havoc and not have to pay anything. And this is a whole Bava Kama sugya. In other words, person goes to the Empire State Building, right? He causes $100,000 worth of damage there, okay? And now we evaluate the Empire State Building, right? Prior to the damage and post-damage. Lav Davka will be anything. It may be zero, right? Zero. It depends what type of damage. Maybe damage actually that will create more than $100,000. Depends where and what the damage is. But technically, you can damage a $100 million piece of real estate by $1 million, and it won't be visible, the damage, as far as if you're going to take the evaluation based on this evaluation. Reb Chaim Brisk is machadish, and this is Negeim Bava Kama. A guy goes, he breaks your window. Breaks your bay window. And now you go, you evaluate your home. You're living in a $10 million home. Does your home go down now in value? It's not worth $10 million anymore. It's still worth it. The guy's going to buy your house, still buy it for $10 million. But if the window only has to be fixed because I was mazik you, correct? Why does the window have to be fixed? I mean, the window has to be fixed because you want a window. But why do I have to fix your window? Why do I have to fix your window? Because I was mazik you, right? And what's the definition of my hezek to your window? How much it's worth before the window, how much it's worth after the window. So there's no difference. Ain't bad man. The first in Torah I had when I was in high school, they had those old windows, you know, with the weights. You pick them up and they magically stay up sometimes. So we were in a building, it was 30 years old, the building, picked up the window, and it just slammed down and it cracked. So I felt I wasn't chayav anyway. I felt it was the yeshiva's business that they didn't have an operating window. But that's a different issue. But then I told my Rebbe this time, I said, how much is the building worth before the window broke? How much worth after the building broke? To make a chilek, the building wasn't worth anything before or after. Just, what's the chilek? That was, but Lamaisa Reb Chaim Brisk, he's machadish, and there are achronim that hold like Reb Chaim, and many, many treat it that way, which is really what Yehuda was saying, which is that the shuma is only entertained when you can't bring the thing back. In other words, really, makabehema yishalmena, altika yishalmena, elayashlimena. Really, when I'm mazik somebody, I have a chiv to make them whole. Okay? But where I can't make them whole, I can't bring it back, so then there's compensation. When there's compensation, then this is the rules of compensation. So anytime you mazik somebody, a physical thing, you break something, it could be put back together. You have to put it back together. So according to that, that would be different. There's a big shaila years ago. This was in Europe with a dentist. And the dentist tined it. He caused damage. And his tined was that he was potter because an eved bishuk that needs dental care or had a mess up on a tooth is not worth any less than an eved who didn't have a messed up tooth. So he felt that the whole concept of, and this Reb Chaim then came to light. They were dealing with Reb Chaim a lot. This needed. But that's the Shita's question. The Shita's asking that above a comma, this is above a comma way. It's above a comma gauge. What does this have to do with Kodshim? That's the Shita's kash. So the Shita, it's difficult what the Shita answers. I mean, the Shita says at the end, in conclusion, he's Myrich here, but he says, anytime you need a shuma, call Dover at Sorich Shuma Midamin on Hektish Lahedit. He says, yes, anytime you need evaluation, he says something that doesn't need evaluation ain't a chanami. There we would be machmer by Hektish. So if somebody would, let's say something has a fixed value, right, what it's worth, so then we wouldn't say, well, let's see what it would be worth it with it and without it. You'd have to give Hektish the higher, the premium. But he says anything that needs evaluation, then we do use Hekdesh as our guide how we evaluate something. We use Nezikin. That's the Shita's. That's a mouthful of a Chiddush. We have to know why that is. It's a tremendous Chiddush. But that's what the Shita Megubetz says Mechadish here, based on the Gemara. That's Rava's main Chiddush. Rava's main Chiddush is that when we use the evaluation of Kodshim, of Nedorim, we use the same kind of evaluation that you use by Nezikin. That's his main Chiddush. Abaye is not arguing with that Chiddush of Rava. Abai is not coming and saying, you're wrong. If there would be a machloikas Abai of a Rova about that, the halacha would be like a Rova. Because Hilchos HaKavosei the Abai be al kagam. The halacha, Rova came, Abai came and he commented on Rova, he said, 1 second, Rova. I'm asking that you could use Nezikin as the Shuma because that's the only thing we're going to use. But by Nezikin, you're paying for something different. So you're evaluating something different. Forgetting the process of the evaluation. But you're evaluating something different. By Nezikin, you're evaluating both the use of the arm and the deformation of the human being. The fact that the person is disformed. He says over here, by Kutchim, there's no reason to evaluate that. The guy's not without his arm. He was giving Hegdish the value of his arm. So I'm asking to you, Abaya, that we use the oimid of Nezikin. Abaya's masking to Rava. We use the oimid of Nezikin. I'm just telling you, so Abaya comes and he qualifies Rava. He's not arguing with Rava. Elo Amar Abaya. Abaya comes and he says, I'm on Rava's team. I'm not arguing with Rava. I am on Rava's team. I'm just saying that even Rava, who says it's an oimid shel Nezikin, it has to be that you're evaluating what we're talking about. And Abaya would say that Rava would not argue with that point. Rava just said a very generic statement. Oymit shel nezikin. That's all Rava said. And the way I'm explaining to you, Rava's main chiddush, see, when you learn the Gemara simply, it sounds like Rava's main trying to say, we go to the market, like he's trying to make it into above a comma story. But really, that's not Rava's main chiddush. Rava's main chiddush is the chiddush of the Shita Mekubetzes, which is that when we evaluate the arm, we evaluate it versus the body, versus the value what the person represents, and we don't say, what is the arm worth to the person? That's Rava's chiddush. Abaya comes and he says, 1 second, Bava Kama, you're dealing with also with Zila. You're dealing with the fact that the person is disformed, and that's not Negei over here. I'm explaining to you now what Rava Shita has to be. And that's why the Rambam comes and he paskins like Abaya. He's really paskining like Rava. He's paskining like Rava with Abaya's explanation. How Rava works. This is the way Rava works. He only works with this explanation. That's what he's saying. We still need clarity as to why that is the evaluation. That needs clarity because in Svara, I mean, the Briska Rav, in his Sefer Agriz al Rambam, he actually feels that even in the Zikin, it doesn't really make sense to evaluate the arm versus the body instead of just evaluating the arm as an arm. He says, let's say there's two types of Tashlum in the Zikin. There's Nezikin where, let's say, you cut off an Eved's arm, and there's Tashlum in Nezikin where you cut off a person's arm, another Jew's arm. And the Briska Rav feels there's a very big difference. The Briska Rav holds, when you cut off an Eved's arm, so then it's part of Nizkei Mammon. It's Nizkei Mammon, because the Eved is more like an object. Because you're not paying the Eved, you're paying his master. So there, the payment is really no l'havdil, it's like your animal was mazik property. Right? There was property damage. So even though the Eved is a human being, but he's being dealt with from a payment standpoint like you would deal with a piece of property. And the evaluation would be how much he would be sold before and after. Says the Briska Rav, but koifer evorim, when you cut off an arm of a Jew, or you knock his eye out, there, that's not Nizkei Mammon. There, the Torah obligated you that really the Torah said they should take your hand off. And that's how the Rambam learns the Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, really it says ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, ya ya tachas yad. So really they should take off the arm. Instead, you pay for the arm. You pay for the arm. So there, the Briska Rav says the logic would be that you should pay really the real value, what the arm is worth to the person. Took off his arm. What's his arm worth to him? Which is much greater of a value. And he goes through a whole shtickle of why we don't do that. He says, really, we should. Logically. So according to the Brisker Rav, the whole oimid of Nezikin is very limited to Nezikin. This Shita Mekubetzes is not like the Brisker Rav. Because this Shita Mekubetzes in our sugya is saying that whenever we make evaluations, we go with the Nezikin type of evaluations. Whenever we evaluate an arm, that's we go by the evaluation of the arm. See, by Chavola, it's entirely different. Chavola, it's actually like a redemption. Like when you pay for the arm, it's almost like you're redeeming your arm. It's called Koifer Levorim. The Rambam says that's the reason why by Ritzeach, it says, Lo Sikhu Koifer Lenefesh Ritzeach. The Torah says that if the Ritzeach comes, and he says, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Just take money instead. He tells the Bezdin, I'll give money. So the Torah says that the Bezdin shouldn't be bought off. So the Rambam is obviously bothered. What's going on here? What's pshat? You don't find somebody's Machal Shabbos that he could say, let me pay off. So the Rambam says, because you would think just like this, Koifer Levorim, because really when I kill somebody's limb, I'm a shtikul ratzeach. And over there, the Torah said that instead of cutting off my arm, I could redeem it. So maybe by Ritzicha, you can also redeem it. So it's like a redemption. That's why the Brisker Rav holds that over there, the logic would be that you should have to pay by a different evaluation. But again, the Shita Mekubetzes doesn't hold that way. Because the Shita Mekubetzes here is talking about Mamish Pidyon. It's like hektish. And the Shita Mekubetzes is saying that logically, we would learn from Nezikin to Pidyon Hekdesh. So the Shita Mekubetzes here for some reason holds that the two are the same. You have to know why. But that's what the Shita says, that the two are the same. And whenever you need evaluation, we go by that. I think it ties into what we discussed last week, which is that when a person makes a neder, and he says, Demei Yodi Alai, he's not being makdish his hand. We had the whole question why they don't weigh the hand. And we discussed that last week. Why don't we try to get it as close? Rabbi Yossi, why don't we get it as close to what it is? Right? So Rabbi Yossi says we just evaluate it. So the way we explain that is because when a person says, Demei Yodi Alai, he's not being makdish his hand. Right? He's being makdish a certain value. He's not being makdish his hand, he's being makdish a value. He's being makdish money to Hekdish. He's not being makdish his hand. If he would be makdish his hand, this is the way I would bridge the gap between the Brisker Rav and the Shita Mekubetzes. Because the Brisker Rav is saying that really when you redeem an arm, the logic would be you don't use Bava Kama. When you redeem a hand, you go and say, what is the hand worth to the person? We wouldn't say, well, a slave being sold with the arm, without... We wouldn't use that evaluation. Normally we would say that let's redeem, if we're redeeming the arm, redeem the arm by what it's worth to the person. And Echanami, there's a mandam who says that when you make koifer b'chlau, you make Dmei Nizik. Another mandam who says you go Dmei Mazik. That's really the... In Echanami. But The Gemara says that even if you hold its redemption, the way you redeem your arm is by paying for his arm. But in a chanami, it's a redemption. You're right. You're redeeming that arm that you will mazik. It's machlokes. But that's the concept is the same. You're right. Without a pasuk, that's the way it would work. You should redeem your arm. 100%. 100%. So anyway, al kuponim, what I think is the way we can bridge the gap here is that there are three kinds. There are three categories. Category number one is nezikin. Where you mazik the moment of somebody. Okay? Where you mazik the moment of somebody, so then we have the din that we evaluate not what the arm is worth to the person, but what it's worth in the market, the slave versus with the arm, without the arm. That's one. Then we have when you want to redeem an arm, like the mechavola. So there the Brisker Rav is telling us that logically we would not use the methodology that we use by Nizke Evet. Because there we would say, what do you mean? Pay for the arm. You have to redeem the arm, pay for the arm. Right? Now we have our sugya. Our sugya, I believe, logically, is not redeeming the arm. Because in our sugya, what you're really saying is, I'm being giving the value, Dmei Yodi Alai. That's not redeeming the arm. Dmei Yodi Alai means I'm giving the value of my arm. I'm giving money to Hekdesh. Now we have a shaila, how much money did you intend to give Hekdesh? Right? So the arm has multiple market values. The most common marketable value of an arm is the slave market. Because regular people don't sell their arms. There isn't a market for it. People, if you want to go out there and try to figure out how much somebody would pay to have an arm. There's no market for it. I'm not saying you couldn't go mishuga, maybe figure out something in the... it's not... So when you said I'm giving an arm value to Hekdesh, what we do is we go by the populist vote. We see what's the most popular arm value that's used in the Welt. And that's what you meant. If I had to redeem my arm, then we would go like the Briskerov. If I said, Yikdashu Yodai, my hand is Kodesh. And my hand became Kodesh. And now I would want to go and redeem my hand back, then ain't a chanami. Then the Briskerov is right. So that's why I feel that this Shita Mukubesis is not a contradiction with the Briskerov. I know that many polls, they present that this sugya is a shtickle contradiction with the Briskerov. I don't feel it is. Because in our sugya, you're talking about value. I want to give a certain value to Hekdesh. Now we have to figure out what you meant. What value is included in the Mei Yodi Alai? So we take the most poshita arm value. That's what you give Hekdesh. That's what I think is the pshat here. Says the Gemara. Boy, Ravam, do oimit shal nezikin. They made a vow, they made an oimit of nezikin. Va'omar demei alai mahu. So they already went through the process. They made the oimit. And now he said, demei yodi alai. Mi oma, do we say, ha'omdu chodazimna? They already evaluated him for the nezikin purposes. Do we have to evaluate again? People is different than three. It's unclear what the Gemara means. Does the Gemara mean that when 10 people evaluate something, they come up with a different number? What does the Gemara mean here? The Gemara says it's different. Umdin Nebe'asara is different. Because normally when we make an oimid for a person, we need 10 people to evaluate the person. In Tinsaloyma Shani Umdin Nebe'asara mi Umdin Nebe'atlosa Oma Deme'alai. What happens if he did it twice? Do you have to make two evaluations? And we say, this is ridiculous. Just make one evaluation. There's a difference in value. So when he said, the Me'alai twice, he meant, I want two evaluations, and I'm going to give two different amounts based on the difference in time. Okay? So Toysus here discusses what is this umdana de Beyasara? What does this mean, 10 people? So Toysus says, brings the psukim where we learn it from. And then he presents a question as follows. The Hikshar Abenu Elchanan, Amai Ein Sorech Yoiser Me'asora. For Bezdin Shokulhu. For Kol Milsa, the Tluya Besvara, Vetzorech Echra. For Chanami Korele Bezdin. They Ein Bezdin Shokul. Interesting question Tosfos has. Tosfos asks, why do we use a 10 people to evaluate? You should need 11. There's a rule in the whole Masecha Sanhedrin, ain't Bezdin Shokul, you can't have an even number of Dayanim. And Mele, the same halacha should apply here to Erech, and that's Tosfos' question. So, the question is, he doesn't really mataras this kasha. But I think the terrace to this kasha lies in really the whole shakl of Atari of the Gemara. Because, the whole concept of Bezdin Shokul, The whole concept that you need a Bez Din Shokel, all over, when we say you need a Bez Din Shokel. Bez Din Shokel is obviously there because in case there should be a hung jury, in case the Bez Din should be 50-50, so we need to have, create a matzav in the Bez Din that it could go to the Roif. Right? That there'll be an odd number in the Bez Din. That's all based on the concept that ultimately the halacha is going to be bas roiv. Ultimately, the end of the day, we're going to go by roiv. So we have to already create a setting that allows the roiv to occur. That's the bas shokel. The whole concept that we go bas roiv is not so simple that we would go bas roiv by shuma. The Shagas Aryeh in Megillah says you don't go bas roiv. But I want to tell you a simple logic why I think you don't go bas roiv. And that is, the concept of bas roiv, Tosfos in Bava Kama asks a kasha, famous Tosfos in Haminiach, he says, how do you ever go bas roiv on a Beis Din? The halacha is, ein ochen b'momen acher haroiv. We don't use majority by moment. So Tosfos asks in Bava Kama, how do we go bas roiv? That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos answers in Bava Kama that Miut Ayonim is like they're not here. Meaning, the Roiv of Dayonim is different than Stama Roiv. A regular Roiv, we have a Miut and we have a Roiv. But by Dayonim, the Miut is like it's not here. That's what Tosfos says. It's a Shvera Tosfos. There's Reb Chaim on the Tosfos. Reb Chaim Brisk tries to make a distinction, Rubei Kekuloi. It's a difficult Tosfos. But Tosfos is basically asking that we don't go bas roiv by at all. So why do we do it by Dayonim? And his answer is that it's not called really a regular roiv. So I want to tell you a simple answer. Lefi Ani Zdaiti, it's simple. Rav Shlomo Kluger asked the Chassam Sofer a fascinating question. He asked the Chassam Sofer, why don't we say by Kazayas, Matzah, roiv should be enough? Rubei Kekuloi. Kazayas. You have roiv and kazayas. It would make Pesach a lot easier. Roiv kazayas, matzah, roiv kazayas more. Everything roiv. Why do you need kuloi? Right? We go for davening, we say you need shishim ispalalim. Yeah, but you need 10 yidin. Why don't we say just make a minyan with 6 people? Rubei Kekuloi. All over. Kol HaTorah Kulo. You have a Sefer Torah, yeah? If it's roiv written, it should be Rubei Kekuloi. It's, you have a pruta. You have a roiv, you're Makadosh a woman with more than a half a pruta, Rubei Kekuloi. It's obviously not that way. But why not? Rav Shlomo Kluger sent a tshuva to Rav Shlomo. The Chassam Sofer and Archaim Simen Kuf Mem has a response to Rav Shlomo Kluger on this question. And he gives him a simple answer he gives him. He says, Rubei Kekuloi is only when it's mi kuloi. Meaning, when you have a whole thing, and I need to establish something, let's say I need shechita. So I have the whole neck, I have both simonim, and I need that the simonim should be shechted. So now I have to identify the simonim. So if most of the simonim are cut, it's like both simonim are cut. Yeah, because I have the simonim in front of me. And I have to now diagnose the simonim. Are they cut? Are they not cut? So roiv tells me that the simonim are cut. Yeah, because I have the whole simon. He says, but if you eat roiv of a kazayas, what connects it to the rest of the kazayas that you didn't eat? It's not, there's kuloi. Where's kuloi? Because it's on your plate? You follow? Roiv of the kazayas on the plate is not there anymore. There's no, same thing a minion. You have roiv of a minion. Roiv of what minion? So if you have 10 Jews, and roiv of them have to daven, you say Rubei Kekuloi. So roiv of the minion is Kekuloi. But you need a minion. That was some sense. When the Torah says, Achirabim Lahatis by a Bez Din, the Torah is saying like this. If you have a dispute, and 4 Dayonim say, Chayef, And six dayanim say potter, or the other way around. So the Torah says the roiv prevails, which really means that the miut agrees that the halacha is like the roiv. If you ask those four gentlemen that held that he was really chayiv, tell them, what do you guys say the halacha is? He's potter. He's potter. We were only there to create a body of a bezin. But the fact is that he's potter. Now, if the Torah says we need an evaluation by 10 people, right? It's not a shaila of a din Torah chayiv potter. So we need 10 opinions to agree on a value. So nobody's bottled to anybody. In as much that they're not in agreement, they don't associate to it. We need 10 people that tell us that this is the value. That's what the Torah said. So it's not a shail chayiv potter. So here we need unanimity. And if we don't have unanimous votes, so those people that are not voting, they're not part of the vote. They're not there. It's not a vote. It's an evaluation that there are 10 people saying this is the value. In Memela, it's not Shaykh Bittel Beroiv. If it's not Shaykh Bittel Beroiv, so it's not Shaykh Bezen Shokl. So the whole issue is not an issue. The whole issue of Bezen Shokl. Okay, we'll stop here.